Sleeping on my back.
He has been called a lot of things over the course of his long, colorful life. A surprise baby by his then 46-year-old mother. An artistic prodigy by his earliest teachers. A scene stealer by those who shared the stage with him. A fine marksman by his drill sergeant in basic training for World War II. A brave soldier by the officer awarding him the Purple Heart. A soulmate by Nicole, his true love and wife of 47 years. An American artist by an unconvinced French father-in-law. A quick study by his famous European art instructors. An inspiring teacher by legions of university art students. An easy read by those who have discovered his novels and poetry. The man with the junk in his yard by city officials. A lifetime achievement award winner by the governor. But me? I just call him Pops. Many of a certain age can only find their past in clouded memories and boxes of faded 3x5 snapshots. Of course, I have those too. But I'm also very fortunate to find mine in the timelessness of vivid watercolors, pastels, and oils, recorded by the deft strokes of an American master. Gene Hatfield is an Arkansas man of distinction. Of course, I would think so regardless. I'm his only daughter, Matilda. For me and my brothers, Hadrian and Mark, growing up with Pops was quite a colorful journey. After all, how many Arkansas kids spent nearly every summer in the north of France? For us, it was all fun, playing with cousins, seeing the bright lights of Paris, and trips to the beach. But Pops, he was at work. From 1960 to the mid-70s, he trained with some of the greatest artists of the day in some of the most prestigious studios in Europe.
Nicole's father happened to know a Mr. Goetz, a friend of Picasso's who had worked with him, helping to get artists out of France during the war. And he is a well-known French painter who had schools both in Paris and Fontainebleau, and I went to school both places with him. The method of teaching in France is quite different from here in the United States in that you go into the workshop and set up your easel and you get out your paints and they furnish a nude model and you paint bodies. You do not have any class discussions at all. It's you and the teacher and learning the techniques that the teacher expects you to acquire. The class in Aix-en-Provence was entirely different. It was there that I went to study more about Cézanne and Cubism. I got a lot of good first-hand experience painting the places that Cézanne had painted and learning more about him. In St. Ives, the light there is in Western England is very, very special. And I must say that my paintings looked better, my watercolors and oils too, but they took on a special quality because of the light that shone on the figures or the buildings. Mr. Fuller was the teacher in England, and his favorite word was beautiful. So I satisfied him at least and did some of my best work, I think. I feel that I profited highly from the contrast and from the difference in atmosphere in students and teachers.
String pulling by his father-in-law was what allowed him to train with these great masters. But that was only the second greatest gift he gave Pops. The first was his daughter Nicole's hand in marriage.
There was just something about her that I could not explain, and we talked together and fell in love, is all I can say. My belief is that two people who fall in love are being pushed by the unseen world, their forebears or the angels that take care of them. It's an unseen and unplanned happening, which in our case worked out over a short period of time and a long distance between us. When I wrote asking her to marry me, I thought, oh, she will say, gosh, I don't want to go back to the United States. No, I'll never marry an American. And when she accepted, I was flabbergasted. And I guess what I thought about first was, oh, I've got to get her a ring over there. And so I looked all over Little Rock and finally found a beautiful wedding set and wrote and told her, I have your engagement ring and I'm sending it sewn in a hat and you'll get it soon. And so that's what I did.
It's true what they say about the blink of an eye. 47 years passed just like that. Together, they raised three children. In 2004, cancer took Nicole and left in her place loneliness.
What I miss most, hearing her speak, just seeing her every day, hearing her voice and feeling her touch. And it doesn't get any better with time.
Mother is buried in Mount Vernon, not far from the home Pops and his father built and named in her honor, Nickfield. But don't expect to find him talking to her there. He finds her in the coins.
My belief is that the spirits actually move things here on earth. I believe that Nicole has been giving me coins. One day, Matilda didn't want to pick up anything off the streets or the sidewalk. No, Daddy, leave that alone. It's dirty. I looked down and she saw a glimpse of it too, a little bit of silver. So I thought, oh, good, I have found a dime or a nickel. And then she took a step forward and as I reached down, I looked and saw that she was reaching down and picking something up and it was silvery too. So I thought, I believe mine was a nickel. So I thought, oh, I hope hers is a dime. And when I straightened up, she was in shock, evidently, because she just stood straight up there. And I said, what did you find? And she showed it to me. And it was a dangle from a bracelet of the Eiffel Tower. And we both nearly dropped our teeth, or at least I did, because that meant her mama was there with us, giving me a nickel and her daughter an Eiffel Tower. My belief in my Indian ancestry becomes more pronounced all the time because I feel the influence of the unseen world on what I do and what I think about. And I think the progress that I make toward getting the results that I want come from experiences in another life. I never, ever thought about writing a book. I was walking down the sidewalk in front of the fortune teller on College Avenue one day, and she stopped and asked me, would you like to write a book with me? And said, what makes you think I can? And she said, Anna Carol Fultz said that if there was anyone in Conway who could help you write your book, it's Jean Hatfield. yes, I told her I would be willing to try. And so I met with her for most of a year. She gave me materials, true and fantastic ideas, that caused me to write two novels with her as the main character. I called her Madame Zingaro. That began my writing career.
The saying, you write what you know, certainly applies to Pop's novels and poetry. The characters, settings, and even some storylines find close kinship to the people and places of his childhood. Those earliest days that had such a profound impact on his art.
I remember having color crayons and blunt scissors and paste and all of that stuff at home. And so I just thought it was natural, since my sister was a painter and we had pictures hanging all over the walls. And so to me, art was just an everyday occurrence. I never felt that there was anything special about it. And that's how and why I got started, I guess. I had a tricycle and toys of all kinds and lots of Christmas presents in my stocking and stalks of bananas hanging in the kitchen and mixing things in the kitchen with Mama and paste and paper and what I wanted to, and going to school at the training school and all of that money. And then the Depression hit and we had nothing. And it was an entirely different way of life, because it was hand to mouth and Daddy didn't have any money. And so we had to move out to Mount Vernon, where Grandma had a house that we could live in.
This is you at 5 months old. So you must have been Center Street or somewhere.
I was in my favorite position, doing my favorite act of sleeping on my back. Oh boy, now this is snazzy, isn't it?
Yeah. Experiencing such loss did a lot to shape his character. As is true with many who lived through those days, my pops developed what you might call a frugal sensibility, which is reflected by his ever-growing menagerie of sculpture. His yard is full of it, and visitors are welcome. Look to your heart's content, but never use the T word.
Oh, found objects. They're not trash, they're found objects. From Depression days, I have picked up things. Myra and I, to make our Christmas tree decorations, found tinfoil and things in Mount Vernon during the Depression to put on the Christmas tree. And I've always been fascinated by the things that you can find that people throw out. One day I found a perfectly good chair and took it home, and the next day, or a day or two after, I found another one. People just throw furniture away. That really is wicked and wasteful. Car parts really appeal to me, and I have one big statue that I call Oedipus Rex, and that's the name of a play, but it looks like a wreck, and it looks like it's been wrecked. I just enjoy putting things together that ordinarily would not go together. It may not be attractive. It may be kind of ugly or weird or strange or frightening to children, but as long as it has a meaning and is serving a purpose, it is not trash, it is art.
Irate citizens concerned about property values have argued with Pops on this one. In 2002, complaints about what some considered piles of junk in his yard led to legal action by city officials. In the end, the law was on his side, and to this day, the collection grows.
I do not care about those people who say my yard is full of junk, because they are not smart enough to know. And besides that, what's beautiful to some people are ugly to other people. So I think that it's beautiful, and I'm turning what might be considered ugly and trashy material into something that is meaningful.
Mr. Hatfield, what is this statue?
This is the beginning of my version of Oscar. I started it long ago. I'm sorry that I have put it off so long. It's deteriorating from lack of use.
I think it looks great.
Oscar holds a special place for Pops. After all, his first love was the stage.
My theatrical career began when, as a freshman, Dr. Trussler had gave me a role in the operetta they were doing, named Maritana. And I was the villain. I sang, "You gutter snipe debase, so low and foul of face, we'll end this fight in a quiet place." That was my part, and then the answer to it was, "Braggart, you shall bite the dust by a single cut and thrust." And we marched off the stage, and the log cabin Democrat gave me the whole show. That was the start of my acting career. A group of us got together and formed the College Crown Players, and short cuttings of the plays Romeo and Juliet and Macbeth, and we presented them all over Arkansas and made a name for ourselves in the theater, the professional stage, and had lots of fun.
Acting remained a passion through the years, but Pops began to put more and more energy towards his sculpting and painting, and together with his longtime mentor, Marie Schiestel, many say they built the University of Central Arkansas art program from the ground up.
Ms. Schiestel saw that I could sketch in black and white and do portraits of people. I took that on as a kind of a mantra and decided that I would concentrate on doing fast portraits of people with pastel colors. It was fascinating to me because each of the people that I painted had something special about them. In the background, I would use the colors that seemed to emanate from them, which is called an aura. Miss Schiestel had told me that she would have a job for me if I would get my master's degree. So I went to the same school Marie had gotten her degree in, Greeley, Colorado. I learned from a movie that my teacher in Colorado showed me that anyone who has any strength of character can say interesting things with watercolor. And so I took that as a challenge. I thought, well, I've got some character, so I should be able to do it. My teacher turned out to be a villain because he sold some of his students' watercolors, and mine were among those, but we couldn't say anything about it, or we wouldn't have graduated, so. Yes, now look, you need to, I feel that my advantage in teaching came from the fact that I had gotten to go over there to Europe and see the originals in the museums and to go to school in the areas where the great painters had been produced. And when I talked about it, I could convey a little bit better message, I think. Painting. Get your paint and cover up space. See?
Okay.
You're still trying to draw and make the lines more important than the strokes. Paint with more liquid and more paint.
Sometimes in life, you find blessings in the darkest of the human experience. For Pops, his greatest accomplishments as an artist might never have materialized without his tour of duty in World War II.
I graduated from high school a year early, so I got a start and had only a couple of years before the draft got me at 18 in the Army. I remember going to the shooting range, I think is what they called, and we were given our rifles, and we each took our turn shooting at the targets, and I don't know why I didn't have gumption enough to think ahead and make Maggie's drawers every time so that they would think, well, Lord, he can't shoot. We don't want him in the Army. But anyway, I didn't get any Maggie's drawers. So that meant that I was a good shot, and that was a mistake. We had gathered in New Jersey and got on the boat, the George Washington. I later told people that we were on the George Washington, the same boat he crossed the Delaware in, which it was an old boat and dangerous too, but we didn't know it. But it was a stormy crossing, and the German U-boats could have sunk us any time. We had gotten across the Rhine River on a pontoon boat and were walking toward Berlin when a tank in the street, in the road, was fired upon. We thought the war was over and everything was peaceful, but a grenade exploded in a tree near me, and I think the man in front of me was killed, and I was injured in my left eye, under this eye. Shrapnel severed the muscle. At first, I thought I was blind in both eyes.
The injury earned him the Purple Heart, and his meritorious service, the Bronze Star. Both small consolations for the horror still etched in his memory all these years later.
I only saw them being removed. I didn't see them fall, but it's an unforgettable, of course, an unforgiving memory. And I've always felt the same way about war. War is so stupid.
His wartime introduction to France would help shape nearly every facet of his life with Nicole.
When we got married, I insisted that the children speak French with her because that made them much more worldly wise, and I knew that they would have contact. I didn't know they'd have as much as they did because we took them with us in the summertime when I studied over there for weeks, and I can remember the poor things waddling around all over Montmartre and getting tired out, and still they were absorbing all of that good French material and speaking the language with their mother. And I regret I should have learned to speak better myself. I didn't want to speak French because I did not want to converse with my wife's father, Mr. Wible. The mother I should have, because she wanted to talk with me, and she was a wonderful, wonderful person. But Mr. Raymond Wible, the lawyer in France, was not my favorite person. I tried to be a good dad because my father, poor thing, I was born at a time that his success failed and the Depression hit, and he was heavily maimed in not having the ability to make money like he had earlier. He was a really good, smart architect, and the Depression took all of his money away, all of his possibilities, and just devastated him. I forgive him for a lot of the things that he didn't do that I would like for him to have done, and I think that I made up for it with my children because I had the bad memories of our relationship.
Pop's legacy is expansive. His body of work is prolific. But perhaps his crowning achievement is the 37 years he spent teaching, nurturing, and encouraging countless young artists. In 2010, he was honored with the Award for Lifetime Achievement in the Arts, presented by the governor, which he cherishes greatly. And now, after 87 years, we can add to the growing list of achievements his inclusion among the men and women of distinction.
Well, if distinction means different and noticeable, I suppose I could be considered a distinctive personality, but I just hope they remember me as being a good person.
One dictionary definition of a Renaissance man is a present-day man who has acquired profound knowledge or proficiency in more than one field. Of course, he would never call himself any such thing. Just like with art, he would prefer us to decide for ourselves.
Oh, Lord, please don't let me be normal.